Chapter 17. For his next visit to Langley, the first in 3 weeks, the candidate arrived in a caravan of shiny black vans, all going too fast, but who would complain? They were cleared and waved onward, deeper into the complex, until they roared to a collective stop near a very convenient door where all sorts of grim-faced, thick-necked young men were waiting. Lake rode the wave into the building, losing escorts as he went until finally he arrived not at the usual bunker, but in Mr. Maynard's formal office, with a view of a small forest. Everyone else was left at the door. Alone, the two great men shook hands warmly and actually appeared happy to see one another. Important things first. "Congratulations on Virginia," Teddy said. Lake shrugged as if he wasn't sure. "Thank you, in more ways than one." "It's a very impressive win, Mr. Lake," Teddy said. "Governor Terry worked hard there for a year. 2 months ago, he had commitments from every precinct captain in the state. He looked unbeatable. Now I think he's fading fast. It's often a disadvantage to be the front runner early in the race."
"Momentum is a strange animal in politics," Lake observed wisely.
"Cash is even stranger. Right now, Governor Terry can't find a dime because you've got it all. Money follows momentum."
"I'm sure I'll say this many times, Mr. Maynard, but, well, thanks. You've given me an opportunity I'd hardly dreamed of."
"Are you having any fun?"
"Not yet. If we win, the fun will come later."
"The fun starts next Tuesday, Mr. Lake, with Big Super Tuesday. New York, California, Massachusetts, Ohio, Georgia, Missouri, Maryland, Maine, Connecticut, all in one day. Almost 600 delegates."
Teddy's eyes were dancing, as if he could almost count the votes.
"And you're ahead in every state, Mr. Lake. Can you believe it?"
"No, I cannot."
"It's true. You're neck and neck in Maine for some damn reason, and it's close in California, but you're going to win big next Tuesday."
"If you believe the polls," Lake said, as if he didn't trust them himself. Fact was, like every candidate, Lake was addicted to the polls. He was actually gaining in California, a state with 140,000 defense workers.
"Oh, I believe them. And I believe that a landslide is coming on Little Super Tuesday. They love you down south, Mr. Lake. They love guns and tough talk and such. And right now, they're falling in love with Aaron Lake. Next Tuesday will be fun, but the following Tuesday will be a romp."
Teddy Maynard was predicting a romp, and Lake couldn't help but smile. His polls showed the same trends, but it just sounded better coming from Teddy. He lifted a sheet of paper and read the latest polling data from around the country. Lake was ahead by at least 5 points in every state. They reveled in their momentum for a few minutes, then Teddy turned serious.
"There's something you should know," he said, and the smile was gone.
He flipped a page and glanced at some notes.
"2 nights ago, in the Khyber Pass in the mountains of Afghanistan, a Russian long-range missile with nuclear warheads was moved by truck into Pakistan. It's now en route to Iran, where it will be used for God knows what. The missile has a range of 3,000 miles and the capability of delivering 4 nuclear bombs. The price was about $30 million U.S., cash up front, paid by the Iranians through a bank in Luxembourg. It's still there, in an account believed to be controlled by Nadi Chenkov's people."
"I thought he was stockpiling, not selling."
"He needs cash, and he's getting it. In fact, he's probably the only man we know who's collecting it faster than you."
Teddy didn't do humor well, but Lake laughed out of politeness anyway.
"Is the missile operational?" Lake asked. "We think so. It originated from a collection of silos near Kiev, and we believe it's of a recent make and model. With so many lying around, why would the Iranians buy an old one? Yes, it's safe to assume it's fully operational."
"Is it the first?"
"There have been some spare parts and plutonium to Iran and Iraq and India and others, but I think this is the first fully assembled, ready-to-shoot missile.
Are they anxious to use it? We don't think so. It appears as if the transaction was instigated by Chenkov. He needs the money to buy other kinds of weapons. He's shopping his wares, things he doesn't need. Do the Israelis know it? No, not yet. You have to be careful with them. Everything is give and take. Someday, if we need something from them, then we might tell them about this transaction. For a moment, Lake longed to be president, and immediately. He wanted to know everything Teddy knew. Then he realized he probably never would. There was, after all, a sitting president right then, at that moment, albeit a lame duck, and Teddy wasn't chatting with him about Chenkov and his missiles. "What do the Russians think about my campaign?" he asked. "At first they weren't concerned. Now they're watching closely. But you have to remember there is no such thing as a Russian voice anymore. The free marketers speak favorably of you because they fear the communists. The hardliners are scared of you. It's very complex."
"And Chenkov?"
"I'm ashamed to say we're not that close to him yet, but we're working on it. We should have some meters in the vicinity soon."